Stillman and Company is delivered by TriStar Moving, ESPN 1025. The game. Caroline Fenton is here. Ian is here. Guys, honesty is always the best quality, right?
I would say so.
So let me ask a question. Why does it feel like nobody's ever honest anymore? I mean, and I don't mean that in terms of like everybody's not honest, but it's like everybody seems to always have something up their sleeve. When you talk to somebody, maybe I'm just skeptical, or maybe I'm more skeptical as I get older. But when you hear somebody say something, it's almost like I automatically believe that 95% of the time it's not true. When I hear a coach talk, or I hear a general manager or a player or whatever talk, I'm like, does it feel like that's the truth? And I think maybe it's rooted because politicians don't feel like they tell the truth a lot now. It's like they want to tell you one thing, but they really think another thing in the back of their head, but they don't want to rock the boat. And I understand that because as a boat rocker, there are, you know, some issues where all of a sudden it's like, it just probably would have been better if I hadn't said anything. And so I keep wondering, you know, who all's being honest? Who can we trust? What's the truth? So I asked John Hines before the game on Monday night if this was going to be Pekka's last game or if there was anything on Pekka beyond, you know. And John Hines, like a coach would, said, you know, the focus is on Carolina, the Carolina series, and that that's their focus and everything else, you know, wait on that. Pekka was asked after the game Monday night about his future, says he hasn't made any plans for his future. Now, his agent told Adam Vingan that Pekka is playing hockey next season, that Pekka Rinne will play hockey. Adam Vingan reported it. Adam Vingan has good relationships with agents. I think, as we all know, we can trust Adam Vingan when he reports something like that. So Pekka is playing hockey next year. Then there's the Finnish newspaper article we discussed that said that perhaps there's a discussion about Pekka ending this year in the NHL and going back to Finland. But Pekka says that he'll take time and address it later. But deep down inside, I feel like Pekka knows, and I felt like the Predators know. And then I heard David Poile on the Midday Show yesterday talk about the future of Pekka. And here's what David Poile said, and it's kind of got me thinking. Take a listen.
I think, you know, everybody's wondering what Pekka is going to do, and I've told you on the show before, and Pekka and I have not talked about this year. I think it's, I know on my side it's purposeful that we haven't, because I want to see what he's thinking after the season, and I'm certainly open-minded to what his thoughts would be, and I thought if he wanted to have the conversation, we would, and even last night I see him, when he did talk to the media, he doesn't want to close the door, and so, and again, it's an unusual situation when you're in the playoffs. And I think, again, if we're going to have any success, I mean, as well as Juice is playing, we're still going to need both of our goaltenders to play. And obviously, as we saw last night, Pekka still has games. So I don't know, just was just an awesome experience last night, that's for sure.
Okay. I think David Poile's telling the truth. And I don't know if Pekka's telling the truth or not when he says he hasn't made any decisions or hasn't closed any doors to what David Poile just alluded to. I don't know if Pekka's telling the truth there. I couldn't. Again, Pekka's never going to throw anybody under the bus. He's never going to be the height of controversy. He's never going to do anything like that. I think David Poyle's telling the truth. And when David said, I haven't talked to Pekka purposefully, I thought, okay, what's the purpose for that? Because why would you go up to Pekka right now when he's been riding the pine and say, hey, Pex, you want to come back next year? You want to get out there? You want to? That's probably not the right time to do it. Because I'm sure Pekka's sitting there saying, I don't want to put myself through all of this next year. But maybe things change. COVID restrictions get relaxed. The vaccinations are easier. And all of a sudden, you don't have to jump through all the hurdles that you had to jump through with getting back to Finland and everything else. And maybe there's options that will present themselves. Maybe Pekka plays in the playoffs. And Pekka has a great playoff run. You end up in the semifinals or whatever they're calling the final four of hockey this year, because there's no conferences anymore, but whatever it is, and then certainly Pekka will want to come back. I think David Poile is telling the truth. I think that they want Pekka Rinne back, And I think they have not discussed this with Pekka. And as David said, purposely, and I think the purpose is for two reasons. This is like a relationship where you know at some point there's an issue that's going to have to be addressed. In my case, for example, I'm Jewish. And if you date somebody who's not Jewish, at some point that discussion has to happen, right? Well, guess what? It doesn't occur on the second date. It's not a, hey, so it was really good hanging out with you this time. What do you think about marrying a Jewish guy? I like, you know, maybe like let's let it simmer a little bit before we get there. And I think that's probably what the Predators are doing. So we discussed yesterday, we kicked it around, the group of us, about whether or not we thought Pekka was coming back. All three of us voted no. So now I'm going to kick it around the room again. Do we think the Predators know what Pekka wants to do?
The Predators as an organization or the players?
The Predators as an organization. David Poile on down.
I think they know. I think they do know.
So you think they have had the discussion and you think David was maybe telling a white fib yesterday?
Maybe. I think they've at least had the discussion. You know, what are we going to do? Has Pekka made up his mind? I don't know. I'm kind of leaning toward yes. When you're at this point in the season, you probably know what you're going to do next season. But I definitely think they've had the conversation, and I think that they do know. If not, they know which way he's leaning.
Ian, do you think they've discussed it? And do you think that David was 100% truthful yesterday?
Discussed it with Pekka?
Yes.
No, I do not think they've discussed his future yet.
I agree with Ian.
I think
that this is totally because you don't want to ask because the sensitive nature of it, right? Like you don't want to ask because you don't want, first of all, they can't come to an agreement with Pekka today. Even if they wanted to, they wouldn't do it because of the expansion draft. So you would basically want Pekka to be out there as a free agent, throw out whatever freaking goalie you want to throw out there. I'm guessing Connor Ingram would probably be the goalie that Seattle would be able to pick. They wouldn't pick him, but he'd be out there for them to pick, protect Saros, and go on about your business. And then re-sign Mikael Granlund, re-sign Pecorine, you know, those kind of guys so that you don't have to protect them from Seattle. So I think that's probably part of it. I think the second thing is, usually when people are in the middle of a season, they're in the middle of a grind, they're not playing as much as they probably would like to play, there's probably more negative feelings about coming back. We've all been around the person, or maybe in some cases been the person who's like, I'm quitting today. I can't do this anymore. I can't do Bob in accounting. I can't do Cheryl down the hallway. I can't do it anymore. I'm quitting. And then that person doesn't quit. And then it's like 6 months later, you're still there. I think they want to give him time. I think they want him to think about this. It probably is going to be like Mike Fisher, where Mike Fisher said, I want to take some time. I feel like when Mike Fisher first retired, and I could totally be wrong, you know, again, going back to the, you know, is everybody telling you the truth kind of thing. I think Mike probably thought, you know, that he was good. Like, I'm good. I think, you know, that's it for me. Stanley Cup final appearance. I remember the locker clean out interview he did when he said something like, you know, it's just hockey. I was like, that ain't a guy who plans on dedicating his life to playing more hockey. Not to knock on Mike Fisher. Then Mike Fisher retired. Then Mike Fisher wanted to come back. And I wonder if that's kind of the thing here, which is, hey, Pekka might want to go do something else. But then when push comes to shove and those juices start to get flowing and, hey, the idea of coming back next season. Plus, I think David Poile's probably looking at it right now as we all expect the Predators. I shouldn't say we all. I know a lot of fans probably feel different. But a lot of us feel like the Predators are not going to win this Carolina series. We feel like they're certainly not cup contenders right now. And maybe they win. They get hot. They win a couple of games that they shouldn't win. And next thing you know, you can sell to Pekka the idea of being a cup contender next year and that getting one last crack at it to go win the cup. So I think that's probably why David has let it play out. But I think I agree with Ian. I don't think David and Pekka have talked about it. Do I think Pekka's probably made up his mind internally? Probably. But then it's on the Predators to pitch him the other way. It's on the Predators to say, hey, reconsider because of this. So I look at it and I think, you know, I still don't think he's coming back, but I do hear what David Poyle is saying about, you know, I want Pekka back and I want to give Pekka time and then I want to discuss with Pekka. And so at least we talked about, you know, does the team know? If the team knows, do they do something special? Do they go out of their way? Clearly, or at least to me, it feels like the team doesn't know. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. 615-737-1025. What do you make of what David Poyle said about Pekka Rinne making a return and the fact that they haven't talked about it? Does that give you more optimism for the idea that Pekka Rinne may return? And then I think also, how important are these playoffs to whether or not Pekka returns? We'll touch on that coming up next. 615-737-1025. We are live from the Wholesaling Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com, right here on ESPN 1025 The Game. And I cannot tell you when the Carolina series is starting. Monday. When the Carolina series is starting.
What was that? What? What was that?
I was expecting my new co-host to say, bless you. And I
oh, bless you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
But we don't know when the series is starting. But we will see when it gets dropped. But again, you know, a lot of people probably feel a certain way one way or another. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. ESPN 1025 The Game and T-Mobile have partnered up to give you a chance to experience a Nashville SC game this season. Tune in every Monday to Darren, Donick, and Chase for the keyword to text to win. Good luck from 1025 The Game, T-Mobile, and Nashville SC. Stillman & Company, it's ESPN 1025 The Game.
Can you let us sort of know where you're at in that, how much thinking you've done about the future? Are you trying to block that out until you get to the end? You know, what can you tell us about where you are right now?
I don't want to speculate yet. I really don't have an answer. And I've mentioned multiple times this year that I'm loving every minute of it. I love coming to the rink. I love playing with the guys. And, you know, this season is all that matters to me right now. You know, we go in the playoffs. I'm very excited. And, you know, after the season, it's probably time when, you know, I'll talk more, but no final decision yet. And to be honest, I really don't want to speculate on that, because I feel like it's way too early.
That was Pekka Rinne saying, hey, too early to speculate. I'll talk more after. Kind of mixed messages there, right? Like, I don't want to take away from the team. I'll talk more after the season. Well, that sounds like, hey, I got something to tell you. But then there's the side of no final decision, which David Poyle harped on in his discussion with the Midday Show. So, do you think the results of the playoffs could change Pekka's mind?
I don't know. Pekka doesn't seem like that kind of guy to me. You know?
Like a very reactive guy who all of a sudden says, well, right. You know, darn it, we got to 7 games with Carolina, so now I'm in because I think we can compete.
Right. I think regardless of the playoffs, he will make up his mind based off of what he wants to do, based off of what's best for him and his family and his future. So, no, I don't think the playoffs are going to impact it. But to your point, I do think, like, regardless, he's going to make an announcement if he's coming back or not. It's going to be a big deal no matter what. So, yes, he will have something to tell the team. But I kind of trust him in that maybe he hasn't made his mind up yet. But he will have something to say either way.
What if he plays in the playoffs? What if something happens to Saros? He plays in the playoffs. He plays well. Does that then change what happens? And I would argue this probably goes back to Floyd used to have a saying. That was, you never make a decision until you have to. I forget how it came up, but this came up off the air before it came up on the air. And it was something to do with something that Ryan wanted to do. And it was always a weird dynamic, right? Because the way it used to be back when we were, you know, back in the studio every day was, and Ian, you remember this, it was me, you, Floyd, and Ryan, and we would just sit there for like an hour before we'd go on air. Probably the most wasted time of my life, my mid-20s.
Sheesh.
Well, I mean, it was literally, Ian, back me up on this. It was literally just an hour of the four of us sitting. I shouldn't say wasted, because we did have a lot of fun.
Yeah, sometimes
we would, memories.
We would, you know, kind of shoot the wind and talk a little bit of sports and talk not sports and a little bit about the show and a little bit about nothing.
I mean, it was just pretty much just Floyd cracking on me the whole time. But We just sit there and we shoot the breeze, and something came up. It was a weird dynamic because Ryan had just elevated himself, had just been elevated into management. And so now here's 27-year-old Ryan, who's being elevated into a managerial position, and here's Floyd Reese, who's been a coach and a general manager in the NFL. And it's like, you know, we watched Ryan kind of learn how to be in management, and it was a different, it was obviously different for me than it was for Floyd, because I mean, Floyd's been in management for forever. So when Ryan would have, like, you know, certain responsibilities that a manager would have to do, Floyd always got a nice little kick out of watching him do them for the first time. But I forget what happened, but Floyd looked at Ryan one time just straight in the face and goes, "That's why you don't have, that's why you don't make a decision until you have to." And that has stood with me for a long time about not making a decision until you have to. And I wonder if that's the approach Pekka and David are taking, is, hey, what if this Carolina series goes really well? Like, what if the Predators knock off Carolina in five games, something crazy, which isn't very likely, but let's just, you know, what if they do that? They get into a second round against Tampa Bay. Every coach and general manager says something that I don't believe is very true, which is, hey, if you're going to get through these playoffs, you're going to need two goalies. But maybe that is the case in these playoffs. Pekka plays well. The Predators, you know, get to the seventh game of the second round against Tampa Bay and lose. You could argue, hey, you just knocked off Carolina and you went right toe-to-toe with Tampa Bay. You could argue that, hey, this team really is close to competing, and you could probably try to use that to convince Pekka to come back. And Pekka could probably look at his game and say, hey, I can do one more year. We talked with Hal Gill yesterday about how much work Pekka has to put in order to play at the level that he wants to play at. And would you want to put in that level of work to come back and only play once every fourth or fifth game? And I don't think Pekka wants to do that. But if you're winning and you're having success and you're thinking, hey, I could be part of something and be more than just Carter Hutton, the backup, in order for us to win a Stanley Cup next year, maybe that does swing the needle a little bit. So I think that's another caveat to throw in there. Maybe neither side has made a decision because they don't have to make a decision. That being said, he's not going to say anything that will take attention away from the team or the team's focus off of Carolina. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Our text line, phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Caroline Fenton on the text line. What is in there?
One texter texted in and said, I'd rather hear about Tim Tebow than a hockey player, but when it comes to Pekka, why is there so much talk about his return or not?
Well, because he's the most popular player who ever played on the team. I mean, I don't know, like, I don't, I mean, Tim Tebow sucks, and there's talk about Tim Tebow. Like, he sucks. He is not good. He is not a good football player. He is not a good baseball player. And he is not going to be a good tight end. And honestly, he's not even really a good commentator. So he really is nothing except for a guy who used to be good at college football. I don't understand why we don't give Eric Crouch all of this attention that we give to Tim Tebow. Pekka Rinne is the most famous player in the history of the franchise. He's the best player in the history of the franchise. He's the most popular player in the history of the franchise. I mean, I can only imagine what it was like. You'd have to ask Willie or Darren, but I can only imagine what it was like when the Titans released Steve McNair. I mean, you knew the future was Vince Young. They had already drafted him. But Steve McNair was one of the most, if not the most popular players in the history of the franchise. At that time, he was the most popular player on the team. Eddie George. And I was watching an old Monday Night Football game a couple years ago on YouTube. And it was the Titans and the Patriots in 2002. Patriots were defending champions. Titans ended up in the AFC title game that year. They lost to the Raiders. And I was watching it, and in it, John Madden was talking about how bad Eddie George had gotten. You know, oh, yeah, you know, Eddie George, he's the lowest rusher in the NFL in yards per carry. But Tennessee, they just love giving him the ball. They'll give him the ball 25 times if they can tonight. Boom. And you think about the fact that Eddie George barely got to 1,000 yards, I believe, that last year he was a Titan, and just got to, I think, 10,000 yards that year. And it was a big deal, and they got into the playoffs, and Eddie helped them win a game. But Chris Brown was clearly going to come in there and be the running back sooner rather than later. But I remember when they released Eddie George, it was like a knife to the heart that they were releasing Eddie George. And then the next year, when the team was expected to be pretty good, they'd been to the playoffs 4 out of the last 5 years, and they started the year off just terribly. And I remember my ninth grade math teacher asking me, do you think this is because they don't have Eddie George? And that's the way I kind of approach this is, you know, with Pekka, he's the most popular player in the history of the franchise. Why do we care about him coming back? Because they're not as good of a team next year if he doesn't come back. They're not. I mean, they'll go out and they'll get a backup. And it'll be some guy who probably kind of stinks and you don't want in there. I think the Boston Bruins, for example, they have Tuukka Rask as their starting goalie and Yaroslav Halak is the backup. And Halak, I think, had to play last year in the bubble when Tuukka just decided to bounce. And so Halak is a backup. He's not great. This year he hasn't played really well. They've got a young prospect, a guy named Swayman. And Swayman is going to be the backup this year in the playoffs. Why? Because he's better than the backup, and he's the future. You want that kind of guy as your backup goalie. Well, the Predators aren't going to have that next year. Saros is going to be the guy, and if it's not Pekka, it's going to be a true backup. It's going to be Jonathan Bernier behind UC Saros. It's going to be Cam Talbot behind UC Saros. It's going to be a guy who might be a starter for a really bad team will be behind UC Saros next year. And I don't think you're as good of a team, so I think it checks a lot of boxes. What else in the text?
One texter texted in and said, would winning hurt the chances of Pekka coming back? End the season with a shutout and then possibly stealing a series you don't deserve. Leave on a high note. I feel like if you're using that logic, it would have to be like a cup. Like if you are planning on coming back next year, if Pekka is planning on coming back next year and he's dead set on that, I think the only thing that would stop him, at least for me, in my opinion, if you win a Stanley Cup, you know, go out on a high note, leave while you're ahead. I think that would be the only thing that would deter me personally.
Yeah, I don't think winning can affect this equation other than winning a cup.
Right.
I have a hard time with the idea that, hey, you know, they won, so that's too much winning for me. I'm out of here.
Right. Stole a series, the first round of the playoffs. I'm out.
I've never been tired of winning, and I'm not sure anybody has ever gotten tired of winning, so I certainly don't think he's immune in that regard. What else is in there?
Justin texted in and said, two more seasons of playing 25 to 30 games gets Pekka over the 400 wins mark, and that's huge to potentially get into the Hall of Fame.
I wonder how much he cares about that. And I wonder how much of a candidate for the Hall of Fame Pekka is. Like, Eddie George and Steve McNair are never going to make the Hall of Fame. I love those guys, and I'm not saying they shouldn't make the Hall of Fame. But they're never going to make the Hall of Fame. If Steve McNair was the quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys, he would be in the Hall of Fame. But the Tennessee Titans are not the Dallas Cowboys. I kind of think that Pekka, if he was the starting goalie for the last 11 years or 12 years or whatever it's been, if he was the starting goalie of the New York Rangers, maybe that discussion's a little bit different. The Boston Bruins, the Washington Capitals, the Montreal Canadiens. You know, maybe it changes the reality, but I don't think, this is just me, and I'm not saying he shouldn't be. I'm just saying I don't think Pekka, a one-time Vezina winner, I don't think he ends up in the Hall of Fame. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Again, more Titans scheduling leaks continue to arise, so we'll get through that. 615-737-1025. Plus, we'll take a look at the headlines as more NFL schedules have gotten out. Caroline Fenton's here. Ian's here. It's Stillman and Company on ESPN 102.5 The Game. And, of course, we are streaming on the Game Nashville app. Catch all Sounds baseball on ESPN 94.9. Tonight, the Sounds take on the Memphis Redbirds at First Horizon Park. Pregame starts at 6:20. First pitch at 6:35. Nashville Sounds baseball on ESPN 94.9 is presented by Farm Bureau Health Plans and 312 Pizza. NFL schedule release is coming out tonight. And again, certain things are leaked out. The Patriots schedule is leaked out. The Jets schedule is leaked out. The Saints schedule is leaked out. And apparently the Thanksgiving Day games have leaked out.
A few Christmas games are out.
Well, the Bears play the Lions the first Thanksgiving Day game. Raiders, Cowboys, I kind of like that one. And then Bills, Saints. Like, Bills, Saints?
Who dat?
Who wants to watch that?
I'll watch it.
Like, I want
Elijah and I will watch it.
I want a good game. Like, I want, like, good teams. Like, the Saints, I don't like that one. That one, I think every year that third Thanksgiving Day game is so hit or miss. Last year was going to be a good one, Ravens Steelers, and they got postponed because of COVID. So we ended up not having that game. But usually that third one is just so hit or miss. Like, they tried putting Atlanta in there a couple years ago. Oh, it was awful. So I, and again, my biggest beef with Thanksgiving, get the Lions off of Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Like, and people are like, but Jared, it's the tradition. I'm like, who gives? I mean, here's the thing.
I mean, that's my point about having baseball, the Cowboys opening the season.
Yeah, but at least the Cowboys people want to watch. Like, the reason they have the Cowboys is because they're going to get the highest ratings. That's why you don't hear me say take the Cowboys off of Thanksgiving. I get it. Put the Cowboys on Thanksgiving. They're going to get the highest ratings. But football's the one sport that literally is popularity above all else. Baseball is, oh, the tradition. Football does not care about tradition. You want to play Super Bowl in March? They don't care. They'll do it. The tradition doesn't matter to them. And then when it comes to the Lions and Thanksgiving, it's like, oh, God forbid we put on an interesting team that's won a game in the last decade. But that's neither here nor there. Time for headlines with Caroline.
We're spanning the sports world. It's Headlines with Caroline on Stillman & Company, right here on Nashville's best sports talk,
ESPN
102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
So we have seen so many people, so many writers, commentators, whoever it may be in the national media, saying that they expect the Titans to take a big step back this season. Sure. They see the offensive assets that they've lost in Arthur Smith and Corey Davis and so many offensive pieces that the Titans have lost. But we did hear Diana Russini kind of show a different perspective. Here's what she said on ESPN today.
This does not seem like a team that's taking a step back. On top of the most important part of it is they've got a culture. They've got an identity. You can't say that about a lot of teams in the NFL.
And she mentioned all of those defensive assets that the Titans have added, as well as an offense that is so well established in Ryan Tannehill and Derrick Henry. So to all of the people out there in the national media who may be saying the Titans could be taking a step back, Diana does have a point.
So Diana Russini is pretty well connected with the Titans. She covered the Titans for the draft a couple of years ago. And, I mean, she definitely talks to the Titans. So when I hear someone say, they have the culture that you would want, they have the, I get a little, okay, so where's all this coming from? On the other side of that, I mean, here's my feeling about the Titans. And I haven't gone through every game and thought about, you know, this, that. I think there's a chance the Titans can be pretty good this year. I think there's a chance the Titans can be pretty lousy this year. And I think it really is. I mean, I think there really is the potential could really be a very far spectrum for the Titans this year. Like, I was looking at their opponents. I don't think Houston's going to be good. I don't think Jacksonville's going to be good. I don't think Arizona's going to be good. I don't think New England's going to be good. I don't think that Miami had a nice season last year.
Miami could
almost made the playoffs. But I would be shocked if Miami was a good team this year. I would be shocked. I would be shocked if the Titans were a good team this year. I'd be shocked if Jacksonville was good. I wouldn't be surprised. I would be surprised if Indianapolis is bad this year. I think there's a chance. I think there's a much better chance the Titans will be bad than Indianapolis will be bad. And yet, I still think the Titans are a better team than Indianapolis, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, that makes sense. I see what you're saying. And I do think for the Titans, it's very high ceiling, low floor. You know, you look in Caleb Farley. Is he going to be healthy? Is he not? That contributes to it. How is this new defense going to fare? That's a big contribution to it. Pass catchers. That's a huge contribution. So all of these question marks surrounding the Titans really dictates what they're going to do this upcoming season.
Sure.
A lot of other leaks that are coming out throughout the NFL Twitter sphere. A couple of interesting ones that I pointed out. Chargers at Kansas City in week 3 and Chargers at Baltimore in week 6. So I think that Chargers-KC matchup will be interesting.
But why is that interesting that it's week 3? Is it like Sunday Night Football?
No, I don't think the week really matters, but I just think it's a good matchup. Bills and Chiefs Sunday Night Football week 5. That'll be a good one.
Well, see, here's why that matters. Because Bills
That's a big
Titans,
AFC.
Bills Titans is week six. So you I mean, I would love the idea for Buffalo to upset Kansas City on Sunday Night Football. Big, tough, physical, emotional game. Spend all week celebrating how great you are. Monday Night Football, lose to the Titans. That is a setup, and I love it. And so when I saw that Kansas City was on Sunday Night Football with Buffalo before they played the Titans, I said, hey, maybe that's the opportunity for Buffalo to get their revenge in the AFC Championship game, feel pretty good about themselves, and get knocked off when they come here.
We also have Washington Football Team at Dallas Sunday Night Football in Week 16, I believe.
Dallas.
Dallas and Washington doesn't do it for me.
Put Dallas on TV.
Doesn't do it for me.
It's Dallas. It's Dallas.
Who cares?
Everybody, because it's the Cowboys. Everybody cares.
I mean, I think only Cowboys fans care.
You
worked at
ESPN. You saw when you did something Cowboys compared to when you did something not Cowboys. Was there a noticeable difference?
Well, I don't know because they really only talk about the Cowboys on television. I worked on the social side, so I'm not totally sure. But with the amount that ESPN talks about the Cowboys, you have to assume that, yes, it really does move the needle.
So I met a guy one time.
It's just annoying.
I met a guy one time who worked for 24/7 Sports, and he was telling me, he goes, the clicks across everything NFL, if it's Dallas, it gets infinitely more clicks than anything else. Dallas gets infinitely more. He said nobody wants to do reviews and rear view mirror. They want to all look forward. And if it's Dallas, it's Dallas. So we're going to get stuck with, you know, I hate like the Chicago Bears, for example. I find them to be the most unwatchable team on television. But the Chicago Bears week one against the LA Rams on Sunday Night Football, because Chicago has a new quarterback, but it's Chicago. It is a humongous market.
And I think Justin Fields has a lot to do with that.
I think the fact that it's a humongous market has a much bigger deal to do with it.
And also, you're going to get eyes on that game outside of Chicago because people want to watch Justin Fields.
I would think that you'd be a little surprised that I'm not sure that unless the player's name is Brady, the player, I don't think, necessarily moves the needle. If anything,
you'd be surprised.
If anything, I think that Stafford moves the needle in this equation for why they want to put this game on TV more than Justin Fields does. Not to say that they don't want to put Justin Fields on TV. I just don't think they view Fields as a priority yet to put on television. I think they view the Chicago Bears and the Chicago market. That's something they want to put on TV. What else?
On Get Up this morning, Marcus Spears and Diana Rossini and Greeny, they're all kind of deliberating on what is the best week one matchup. Marcus Beard said Browns Chiefs because he thinks that the Browns are a Super Bowl dark horse contender. And we had talked a little bit about the Browns yesterday, a couple days ago, and the standings in that division. I just don't really know if I'm sipping the Browns Kool-Aid quite yet.
So I'd have to look at the whole week one schedule. I mean, to me, I think the most interesting matchup is Dallas and Tampa Bay. I mean,
anything with a reigning Super Bowl contender, I think, is going to be an interesting game.
It's Dallas, and it's Dallas, and it's Brady, and I find that to be the most interesting. I will say this. I think that's a good game to start, you know, the season. I mean, that is a playoff
rematch.
It's a good
game.
Cleveland certainly has a lot of hype surrounding them. I mean, that's a Jim Nance, Tony Romo game. I think they go out, do that one. I think that's a good game. I saw that on the schedule for week one, and I say, you know, that's a good week one 3:30 game. The thing I can't stand, and again, I don't know who has double headers and all kinds of stuff, is when you put teams with big markets that aren't good or aren't interesting. So Kansas City, not a huge market. Cleveland, not a huge market, but both teams are interesting, and they have marketable players and marketable teams, and I think that's good. What I cannot stand is when they put a team like the New York Giants on in that 3:30 slot, which might as well be a primetime game. They put the New York Giants on against another big market, who gives a crap kind of team, like the L.A. Rams. You know, and the Rams have a little bit something here and there, but I'll use Seattle. I find Seattle very hard to watch, and I don't know why. But so if you get Seattle and the Giants, or the Bears and the Giants, or like the big market teams that kind of are boring, that's what I hate. And so I find Kansas City, Cleveland week one, I think that's a good matchup. I think that's a good game to watch. I still think Kansas City will barbecue them, not to pun that. But I think Kansas City good will one. Absolutely fillet Cleveland because I'm not buying Cleveland either. But I do think it's a good week one game.
Couple more week one matchups of note. Jets-Panthers, Sam Darnold's revenge, which normally would be a snooze and a half of
I will
game.
Be watching the Titans play the Arizona Cardinals at that point. That is a noon kickoff on CBS if there ever was one. That is Spiro Ditas, Adam Archuleta written all over it.
No shame in what they do. Be nice to them.
Those guys?
Yeah, be nice to them.
They're the official television broadcasters of the Tennessee Titans.
Right.
They call every Titan game, it feels like.
Right.
I think the Titans are going to get Greg Gumbel. And I don't know. Rich Gannon's out at CBS. So I don't know who Greg Gumbel's new partner is. But that week one versus Arizona, I think they're going to get Greg Gumbel and whoever's working with Greg Gumbel from now on. I have no idea who it is. Maybe it's Trent Green again or maybe it's Jay Feely. But I think they're going to get the Greg Gumbel game, which every time the Titans get a Greg Gumbel game, and they've gotten a lot more Greg Gumbel games, it's like as the Titans have gotten better, Greg has gotten shipped on down the depth chart at CBS. So the Titans have found themselves with quite a few Greg Gumbel games lately. I think they start the season on a Greg Gumbel game.
Also, Packers-Saints of note, which is kind of feels like the matchup of we don't really know who our starting quarterback is.
So I think Packers-Saints, this is where, again, who's got the doubleheader? Who's got the week one doubleheader? Because that's got Aikman and Buck written all over it. Packers-Saints.
Right.
So which game are we going to get? Who's got the doubleheader? Are we going to get Kansas City and Cleveland, or are we going to get Packers-Saints? Because Buck and Aikman are going to Packers-Saints, and Nance and Romo are going to Cleveland and Kansas City.
Right.
Which game are we going to get?
Well, I guess what team has more of a market here, Kansas City or New Orleans?
No, I think it's which network has the doubleheader. They're on different channels. So if Fox has the doubleheader, then you'll get a noon kickoff game.
Right.
On Fox, you know.
A 3:30.
Whatever, and then you'll get that game. If Fox doesn't have the doubleheader, then perhaps Titans-Cardinals on CBS, then we'll have both. We'll get, you know, Chiefs and Browns and then a 3:30 Packers-Saints. But I don't think the league likes to do that. So that'll be interesting to see what they have for set for week one. Headlines with Caroline. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. 615-737-1025. Those announcer things, I mean, I always view the announcers and who you get as like a sign of respect.
For sure.
So if you get Tony Romo, like that is a sign of respect. And not that I care if the Titans get Tony Romo because I want to hear Tony call the game. I don't care about that. But it is the sign of respect that the Titans get by having Tony Romo. Coming up next, speaking of sign of respect, how many primetime games will look at this, you know, what they've got, but do we think there are more primetime games on the Titans schedule? We will discuss. Stillman and Company right here at ESPN 102.5 The Game.
You know, now in my role, or now as a fan, I'd look at other stuff, you know, matchups, when somebody gets to play somebody, you know, revenge games, you know, reunion type stuff. So, you know, I pay attention to that stuff more now. And so it was asked a question earlier, like to me, Kansas City, Cleveland, week one, like that's the game I'm looking forward to the most. And then the next one is like, I can't wait to see Matthew Stafford with the Rams Sunday night against the Bears, which I think should be a good defense. Like I'm looking forward to see that one too.
That was Tim Hasselbeck on Darren Donick and Chase. Again, looking for more leaks about the Titans schedule. Here's what we know so far. Again, tonight, 7 o'clock, they will release the full schedule. Here's what we know so far. Arizona week 1, that's on CBS at noon. The Jets week 4, that I believe is a noon kickoff on CBS, but that means Zach Wilson, so you get a young rookie in his fourth game. Week 6 versus Buffalo Monday Night Football. And what I think some of these you're going to have to do is like reverse engineer. So because we know that, for example, Kansas City plays Buffalo week 5, the Titans can't play Kansas City that week.
Right.
So you try to plug in where Kansas City may go. I still think that Kansas City, here are the games that we don't know. And again, I got distracted there. Buffalo week 6. New Orleans at home week 10, at New England week 12. That's a noon game CBS, although, you know, that could be flexed. If New England's any good, it probably does get flexed. Thursday night football week 16, San Francisco. So here are kind of the games that I look at. Indianapolis, Houston, Jacksonville, six times. We don't know when they play. None of those games, in my opinion, are primetime games. Maybe one of the Indy games is a Monday nighter, but I doubt it. Only because I assume Indianapolis, home or road, will be the last game of the year, and that could be a Sunday nighter if the division or a playoff spot comes down to that and there's no other games for them to pick from.
So Chargers also play the Chiefs week three, so we know that won't be week three for the Titans.
So no Kansas City week three and no Kansas City week five.
Right.
So we should keep an eye on, you know, where Kansas City's schedule says they are to where we can start ruling out certain teams that they play certain games with, which I guess perhaps we should get into. That may be something that I put on your desk at some point here.
Please
in
do.
The next 25 seconds.
I'll take it.
At Seattle, at the Rams. I don't think those are going to be primetime games, but they could be Monday night games. They kind of have a Monday night-ish feel to them, although I didn't think that San Francisco was going to be a primetime game, and that apparently is a Thursday night game. I think Seattle and the Rams are both going to be on the road. I think they're both going to be 3:30 kickoffs, and as you said, the rumor out there is that that's going to be week two.
For the Seahawks, yes.
For the Seahawks, yes. And then I would argue there's probably a chance that it's the Rams week three, but did we not see a Rams week three?
I have not seen a Rams week three. Rams at Colts week two.
Rams at Colts.
So
no Rams in week
no
two.
No Rams week two, which would make sense that I have not seen a Rams week three or a Titans week three, and we're thinking Titans could be on the road at Seattle week two.
Okay, that would mean the Rams go back home. And the Rams would then get the Titans if they want to make it one West Coast swing. At Pittsburgh, I find to be interesting here. Because I don't think Pittsburgh's going to be very good. But Pittsburgh is still going to find themselves on television. And I think that could be a Monday Night Football game. Last year, I was stunned. I was shocked when Pittsburgh and the Titans was not the 3:30 late kickoff primetime doubleheader. I believe Nance and Romo did Kansas City and Denver instead of Tennessee Pittsburgh. And then Titans Pittsburgh got moved because of COVID, and they still kept it at noon, even though both teams were undefeated when they went and played each other, which I was shocked by. I don't think the Steelers are going to be very good this year. I wonder how the NFL schedule makers look at the Steelers. Do they look at them and say, hey, they're not going to be very good? So, yeah, we'll put them on Sunday Night Football once against Baltimore, and we'll put them on Monday Night Football against Cleveland, and they'll have some good games because they're still the Steelers, but maybe not just schedule the Steelers with a bunch of primetime slots.
Chicago at Pittsburgh, week 9, Monday Night Football.
Okay, so no Pittsburgh week 9. So
correct.
At least I'm trying to like write down who all to avoid or who can't play where. So if you can't play Pittsburgh week 9 and you can't play Kansas City week 5, what's that mean? And right now, until we get more context clues, the answer is it doesn't really mean a whole lot.
Giants at Kansas City week 8, Monday Night Football. So no Kansas City week 8.
So now I'm starting to lose the idea that Kansas City could be Sunday Night Football. Because Kansas City, I keep hearing Kansas City Monday Night Football, mm-hmm. Kansas City Sunday Night Football, Kansas City this, Kansas City that, Kansas City. They can't put Kansas City on Sunday Night Football every week. At some point, Kansas City has to play like a noon kickoff. And if you're going to have to play a noon kickoff, don't the Titans make sense as the kind of team that they'd say, you know what, you got to play a noon kickoff, you're playing Tennessee.
Yes, I agree with you. But whenever I was looking at the schedule, I thought that Kansas City was going to be the Titans Sunday Night Football game. But, I mean, noon, 3:30, sure, why not?
I mean, what are the chances the Titans don't have a Sunday Night Football game this year? I think they're going to get a Sunday Night Football
game. I think they're going to get one.
Now, they have perpetually not had Sunday Night Football. Like, last year, they got Sunday Night Football scheduled at the jump with Green Bay, and it stuck. Normally, they don't get Sunday Night Football. I think they got Sunday Night Football in 2018, the last game of the year. And I don't think they got a Sunday night game. I think last year was the first Sunday night game, the first true scheduled Sunday night game that they had since 2009. So they are not very often on Sunday Night Football. So maybe they're not going to – that's why, again, if I'm looking at true Sunday night games, Seattle and the Rams, that's not a Sunday night game.
No. That'll be a midday game, 3:30.
Kansas City is the only viable Sunday night game outside of that Week 18 winner-take-all kind of thing.
You're not looking at Indy.
No, they're not. Indianapolis is not. If Peyton Manning was still the quarterback, maybe.
Yes.
But you're not getting a Sunday night game. Maybe they get two Monday night games. 2018, the Titans didn't have a Sunday night game until they got flexed into it, but they had two Mondays. They had a Cowboys and they had a Texans. And I want to argue those were back to back, I think. No. Indianapolis was in between. So they had two Monday nighters. Maybe they get two Monday nighters this year. We know that Buffalo Week 6 is a Monday nighter. 615-737-1025 is our phone number, 615-737-1025. I'm amazed at how anything can get said about anything. And all of a sudden, everybody starts asking me, are we going to get a baseball team in Nashville? Yesterday, it happened again. The Oakland A's finally said after 30 years of trying to get a new stadium built, we might have to look somewhere else. And everybody keeps saying, what about Nashville? I will lay out why that makes no sense next. Stillman & Company, it's ESPN 102.5 The Game.